Well, we're making the transition now to the next half of our show for tonight, our extended show. So we want to thank Don Weitz for coming in today and for helping us pull together this amazing lineup. We are going to be listening to more voices and more clips and interviews that have come to us via many of our supporters and past collaborators. Mm-hmm. And coming right up, we're going to be playing for you a clip. It's an interview that was conducted earlier this week, and it was done by Kristen. Actually, she spoke to her last night, and I'm talking about Zainab Amadahi, who is an author, singer-songwriter, and activist of African-American, Cherokee, and European heritage. As an artist and activist based in Toronto, Zainab has worked with a variety of organizations to support decolonization, social justice, and First Nations struggles. Many of her recent articles can be found on rabble.ca. So without further much to add to this, let's go to that clip, Kristen. And keep it locked.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Zainab. Can you start just by talking about what's been important to you about CKLN?
Sure. My pleasure, by the way. I'm honored that you asked me to speak here. One of the things that sticks out most in my mind is back in, I think it was 2006, is when the OPP invaded Six Nations after the Granistad and after the land claim, and the people reclaimed it and all that. And I remember as a result of that incident, mainstream media kind of went a little crazy over Six Nations, despite the fact that the reclamation had been going on for some time. But the OPP, you know, raid and then being kicked out of there kind of brought their, you know, world attention to Six Nations. And some of the coverage was just ridiculous, you know, really sensationalist and just bizarre stuff from people who just, you know, didn't know their history and didn't really know what was going on. And very few people in the media were talking to the people at Six Nations, to the Ongwahome people. And CKLN was one of the very, very few places where people went to Six Nations and talked to people on the ground to hear their stories and allowed them to speak, you know, unframed, uncensored, you know, without interpretation, you know, and just basically sort of speak their stories and talk about their, you know, what was going on from their own perspectives. And that was pretty unusual for me to witness at that time. There had been a lot of, even among, you know, progressive and community media, there was still, up until then, I think, a lot of, you know, misunderstanding and misreporting and reframing of Indigenous struggles, but that seemed to be a real turning point, and CKLN played a huge role in turning things around. So that's the example I think that sticks out most in my mind.
I remember getting a phone call from Doreen Silversmith, who had been a CKLN programmer years before. She contacted us before the OPP raid because she was concerned about her family members who were involved in the reclamation, and she wanted to get some attention in the city to what was happening there. It really,
yeah, and her family members were among the first that were arrested and were quite brutalized, as I remember. But, you know, you raise another interesting point in terms of the importance of community radio and CKLN's role, because, you know, I also, years and years ago, back in the 80s, was I used to produce a community radio show, and I can speak just as probably Doreen can, and that was a good example of how, you know, people just develop skills on both sides of the microphone, you know, like they develop media skills, they develop communication skills, they develop their networks, they learn about issues, they learn about communities, right, by working as volunteers as well as by participating in the programming. So It's a really important role that CKLN has played in the community and in people's development, you know, that and people have learned skills and done things that have enabled them to serve their communities better. So that's an interesting example you raise.
I'd like to ask you to talk about one issue or story that has captured your attention today. story that you think illuminates the challenges and the opportunities that that you and your community and all of us on Turtle Island are facing?
For me, one of the most interesting things that I think about the times in which we're living is that we are witnessing what I believe to be the downfall of capitalism, quite frankly. It's an unsustainable system, and it's coming to an end. And I know that's a really big statement, a really big story, but, you know, we see it all around us. And there are so many things that I see in my day-to-day existence that, you know, again, mainstream, you know, is not going to cover, but I just think, you know, there's a lot of exciting things that are really happening as communities empower themselves through many, many different ways. I think in general, we're transforming, our worldview is transforming, and our value system is transforming. And I think that what's happening now is we're witnessing people becoming more and more aware of themselves in relationship. And what I mean by that is that people are becoming much more aware of their connectedness to each other and to the planet and to the other life forms that are here. And, you know, Indigenous people, of course, that's the worldview that we have, and our culture and our spirituality understands that that's how we exist in relationship to everything and everyone else. But even science now, and environmental studies, and our communications technologies, everything is sort of raising our awareness of our connectedness to each other. And, you know, that's really good news, you know, as communities, you know, are starting, you know, people are starting to teach each other, and they're starting to build alternatives, and they're starting to share resources, and they're building, you know, sustainable, democratic, healthy communities. You know, sometimes it's not really, I mean, it's sometimes it happens under the radar, and people don't see it or know about it, but some remarkable, exciting things are happening. And, you know, I mean, just like we see in Egypt, I mean, sometimes it is on the headlines, being, you know, misreported and interpreted in a number of different ways. But, yeah, I just think that we're living in exciting times as the blessing or the curse, however you want to perceive it, goes. And, hopefully CKLN can play a role in bringing these things to light and exploring some of the things that are happening and how things are changing and how our values and our worldview are changing and what that means, how people are acting on that. I think that's one of the most exciting stories of my lifetime that I'm living through.
Thank you so much for your observations and your insights over the years and today.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And good luck.
Magchitam bui am tigidi, magchitam bui khans bewa ebi. Magchitam bui am tigidi, magchitam bui khans bewa ebi. Mam piwa khokahino, dahon tani kaitai, kiwe meitai. Nankaya yamuni ewajitse. Nankaya yamuni ewajitse.
And that in the background is Magchi, and the name of the artist is Ulali. And before that, we were listening to an interview conducted last night by Kristen Schwartz. And it was an interview featuring the voice of Zainab Amadahi. She's an author, singer-songwriter, and local activist of African-American Cherokee and a European heritage. And she's an artist and activist based in Toronto. And tonight, we're also bringing you another local voice, and that is the voice of Sue Goldstein, who is here with us in the studio. Sue, for those of you who have not had the pleasure of meeting her or working with her, is a writer, artist, and activist member of Queers Against Israeli Apartheid, amongst many of the various groups she collaborates and volunteers with. Thanks, Sue, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I'm really thankful to be here, and congratulations on the stay for the station.
Well, thank you so much. We know that over the years you've been very supportive of CKLN. You're a very appreciative member of our community who values community radio and alternative radio, not only here in Toronto, but in other parts of the world.
Well, it's through community radio that I learned about how the news is manipulated. And I've been listening to community radio since I was a teenager.
Excellent. So you are the perfect guest for tonight's show. Our extended,
I don't know about perfect, but
our extended word of mouth Friday news show, which is a special collaboration between Ventana al Barrio and WOM Friday, which usually runs every Friday between 6 and 7 p.m. And Ventana al Barrio will start broadcasting around 7 p.m. and run until 9 p.m. And I am the guest host of Ventana al Barrio. So I guess it's very apropos that I'm here sitting in the booth with you. So earlier in the show, we had the pleasure of speaking with Mustafa Hanawi, who is a past collaborator of CKLN. And Sue, you've been active on the issue of Palestinian human rights and national self-determination for many years now. Earlier, we talked about the revolutionary protest underway in Tunisia, Egypt, and Yemen with Mustafa. And it's clear that there's a balance of power in the region that is shifting. Can you talk to us about your hopes for the future?
Well, I'm hoping that what's been going on in Egypt and in Yemen, Jordan, and Tunisia is going to really break the stranglehold that the United States and Israel have had on how things function in the region. That said, you know, I'm really excited about what's going on, but I'm fearful for the people of Egypt, because we know that long before this happened, Mossad and CIA have active operatives in Egypt. So I'm watching, and I'm a little concerned that power has been given to the military, not being a fan of the military myself. But I still have hopes, because people, even when they cut off all the power to the internet and Twitter, and here in the West they're saying it's the Twitter revolution, but actually they cut off the power and people were still out in the streets and still organizing, and they know that they have the power of numbers and the power of their convictions. And I'm hoping that that's going to set off a lot more things. It's already set off things within Israel, because they've been bringing out their security forces in large numbers within 48 or Israel, because they're concerned about areas where there's a high concentration of Palestinians, like in, you know, Haifa and Acre and Jerusalem. And there's also a lot of dissent among Israeli Jews themselves, and they've been trying to squash that for a long time, and Egypt is bringing it up. So this is really great that it's happening, and that's my hope. And my other hope is that we can see, even when they try and twist this, what's going on in Egypt, that we pay attention to why are they twisting it, and to get us active about how we're going to change things in a revolutionary or uprising kind of way towards liberation by battling this market force, because the market is what they're concerned about. They want peaceful transition, because they don't want to block the, you know, the Suez Canal where the oil comes through. They don't want to block the, they don't want any transition to a system that goes against what the IMF and the World Bank have laid out for how countries like Egypt have to act.
And obviously, this is a pattern that gets recreated over and over again. I mean, I come from El Salvador, and in El Salvador, when we had a civil war, the most concern that the U.S. showed towards El Salvador or any other country that was considered unstable in the region was for the market. You wanted to make the region attractive to investors and the banks. So our civil unrest came to a halt, and a peace process was declared, but there was not necessarily a peace that was accomplished, because people continued to be poor and oppressed, but the conditions were more peaceful for business to go as usual. So hopefully in the region at this moment, in Egypt, in Tunisia, and Yemen, we won't see a repeat of this particular form of dynamics where peace is just in words, but it's actually, you know.
Well, I think the people in Egypt have a long struggle ahead of them, and hopefully we can lend our support in whatever way we can. And one of the ways I think we can do that is by demanding that the Canadian government supports the popular uprising in Egypt. We've heard from little Stevie Harper, but we know we don't trust him.
Obviously, and we hope that also this, what's happening in Egypt, it's a source of inspiration for many people here in North America who I think contains the most politically apathetic populace, where people seem to not undervalue democracy and undervalue, you know, the freedoms that they have, and really take a good hard look at their societies and put everything in perspective. That,
well, this is where I think bringing up the issue of CKLN and community radio is important. Even though, I mean, even with the mainstream press, down the street from where I live, the corner store is run by a gang of sisters. They're my gang. And they're from Grenada. And one of them, Christine, she and I were talking one night, and she said, "We are so inspired by Egypt." And they were excited. And I thought, and just talking with different people around the city, people are excited. But I think community radio is key because it offers, like, on-the-ground reporting, and it offers a view that isn't tainted by what the CRTC, you know, mandates for people to say in commercial radio and on commercial TV. Because I've been watching a little bit of TV and watching the CBC and listening to CKLN, CIUT, Pacifica radio stations, and hearing the reporting there and then watching it on the television, it's so dramatically different. Or listening to Rogers 680 News. It's just, the difference is astounding.
Oh, most definitely. And that's why I guess it is important to drive that message that community media still matters and alternative media still plays a very important role in how people get their news.
Well, yeah, and the way things get edited, I mean, working around the issue of Palestine, like, I just got finished helping out on a tour that's still continuing through the United States of an 86-year-old anti-Zionist Jew who's a survivor of Auschwitz, and trying to get the media interested in that, none here. Well, actually, that was kind of good because they're having a lot of trouble in the States right now with the Anti-Defamation League and all, and they had a major incident at Rutgers University. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that does not make it into the mainstream media at all because, you know, let's just say special interest groups have a lot more time and money and power and will call into the stations and things get censored. So I also see, you know, the CRTC trying to pull your license or pulling your license. They did that. At least you've got to stay. But I see that as part of a pattern of trying to shut down independent media. And we need that. I mean, you know, not a week later, they went and said that they're going to allow Rogers and Bell, among others, to charge for internet per byte. I mean, that would really shut a lot of people out of information and access to the internet. And so I see the two as linked. And I see them as wanting to control, like, the voices that get out there and what people hear. And radio is really important because it's more accessible than the internet. There's a lot of alternative stuff on the internet, but people have to make an effort to listen to it and to find it.
And now, speaking of your work, you were involved in that tour, but you're also supportive of another effort, and this is the Canadian Boat to Gaza. Now, can you talk to us just briefly about what's happening in this particular event that is taking place this weekend?
Well, tomorrow night we have Jeff Halper in town, who's a big proponent of getting together a flotilla of boats from Europe, boats from Canada and the United States to try and break the siege of Gaza. And he's speaking tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at Bloor Street United Church. That's 300 Bloor Street. And the Canada boat to Gaza, they need to raise a lot of money. Like, I think it's like $300,000-$400,000. They're about halfway there. So this Jeff is going to talk about the flotilla. He's going to talk about the situation in Gaza and in Palestine and the dynamics in Israel. And this is part of raising money for the boat, so it's really important that people come out for this.
And I think it's one of the most accessible events that the effort has put together, because in the past they've had other fundraisers that have been a bit pricey and that maybe most of our listeners will have liked to support but had not had the cash to come out and join in the effort. But this time around, it's actually much more accessible, and I believe it's a donation. I don't have...
It's a pay what you can.
Yeah.
There's a suggested donation, but it's pay what you can, and no one's going to be turned away for lack of funds, because people need to learn about the boat.
And we're queuing up some music. You hear it in the background. We are going to get people to come out and fill out Bloor Street United and get that boat on the water and heading to Gaza.
Yes, and also people are in Dundas Square tonight and in Dundas Square tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. to celebrate the victory in Egypt and the ongoing struggle. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you, Sue. Do you want to give any parting words to our listeners regarding CKLN, community media, and your hopes for us for the future?
Support CKLN. Call in. See what you can do. Sign the petition that's online, ckln.fm/petition, as Don White's mentioned before. And just listen in. This is a place where musicians who don't get heard have a place to be heard. This is a place where all sorts of things that aren't there out there on 680 News or 1010 Talk Radio or CBC. This is the place you need to support. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sue. We're going to go to a quick music break, and then we'll be right back with another guest.
سنن متفجرة فالنور سحر دافق والماء شعر رائق والعطر أنفاس الثرى لا تحسب فالنور
And hello and welcome back. You're tuning into CKLN 88.1 FM. We're broadcasting out of Ryerson University in Toronto. And my name is Susie Alvarez. I am your host for tonight's extended edition of Word of Mouth News for this Friday, February the 11th. This is the second part of an extended show. At this point in time, you'll be tuning into Ventana al Barrio, and I will be guest hosting Ventana al Barrio. So we decided to do a special programming for tonight. Hope you've heard the news. We got to stay. So we'll continue to broadcast. Yay! But that means that we still have a lot of work ahead. So please continue to tune in. Listen to the words that were dished out by our last guest, Sue Goldstein from Kwaya, who encouraged people to tune in, continue to support CKLN, visit us online at www.ckln.fm, and learn about in which ways you can accompany us in this on this road towards keeping our license and keeping bringing you the voices that you don't hear in the mainstream. And we're going to continue on with another interview with a very special person. She is a former contributor at CKLN, former tech, as well as a former member of staff. I'm talking about Christiana Clemens. She's a multi-talented operations manager at CFRC in Kingston, Ontario, a sister station through the NCRA. Christiana has worked at Vancouver Co-op Radio, Montreal CKUT, and of course CKLN. And here in the studio, I'm also being joined by Chantal Ludia, who is one of our newest members at Friday Word of Mouth News. And we're so happy for her to have come to us. And she came to us via Christiana. So we thank Christiana for making her get in touch with us and joining our crew. She is a great, great collaborator and contributor. And Chantal will be conducting the following interview with Christiana. So it will be a meetup, a reconnection over the phone.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So I like this. This is a sort of bridging the, you know, the old and the new. And I couldn't be happier to be here. I mean, I feel very privileged to be part of CKLN, and it's thanks to you that I got to be here.
Well, when you said that you were going to be in Toronto and you'd done such a great radio piece for CFRC, it just seemed like a natural fit, so I'm really glad things are working out. And I'm so excited about the stay. I just heard about it.
Yeah, I think it's great news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to ask you a few questions because you were such an important part of CKLN, and now you're such an important part of CFRC. Let's talk a little bit about community radio. And since you've been involved for so many years, why do you think community radio is still important? Why is it still relevant?
Community radio is, first of all, very immediate medium. And I think there's something about listening to people's voices and hearing them tell their own stories from their own perspectives that separates it from other kinds of media like print and video. I think it has a really powerful emotional impact, but I think it's also a really great tool for learning, for debate, for dialogue, for exchange, and for community building. So I think for all of those reasons, radio remains today as relevant and powerful as it ever was.
I agree. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's one of the reasons I came here. How about telling us a little bit about your history with CKLN, how you were involved here, and what you did when you were here?
Sure. I have a long history with CKLN, but I had been a volunteer in community radio before coming to CKLN at CJSR in Edmonton for about 4 years and at CKCU in Ottawa for a year. I had come to Toronto to go to Ryerson to take the radio and television arts after degree program, and I was getting pretty discouraged with the program. I had entered thinking that I would get a job working for the CBC or for commercial radio, but wasn't too far into the program when I realized that I found the profit motive of commercial media and the whole production process to be pretty alienating and out of touch with my experiences of radio, which had formerly all been in
campus community stations. As an antidote to my disgruntlement, I showed up at CKLN, and the then station manager, Conrad, signed me up for, a number of things. I started helping out with Friday's Word of Mouth program as a tech and reading some news, and I started working on the community events listings calendar, and I was on the board of directors as well. And then a couple of years after after joining the station and finishing my degree, I came on staff part-time as the audio production coordinator. And, I had that job until I moved to BC in 2004 to work at Vancouver Co-op Radio.
Well, wow. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. You've done a lot in such a few, such a short time. How about the importance of CKLN radio? Do you think that it's important to Toronto? Do you think that it's important in the group of campus community radio? I mean, where do you see it among the larger campus community radio stations?
Well, I think CKLN's one of the most important campus community radio stations in the country, and I don't think I'm the only person that thinks that. The station's done really pioneering work in the areas of focus programming, in offering opportunities to, discuss radical politics on the air, in giving a voice to communities that are totally marginalized by mainstream media. And I think it's especially important to have a station like CKLN in Toronto. The population in Toronto is so diverse, and there are so many pressing social issues that need to be addressed, but you don't see them being covered by mainstream media. So CKLN provides a space for getting people's real stories out there and getting people to, talk about problems in their communities and finding solutions for them, and to highlight people's ongoing struggles in the community and both, successes and challenges that they face in dealing with them. So I think, from a personal level for myself, although I had been involved in other campus community stations before coming to CKLN, being involved with CKLN really transformed my life and, opened my eyes to a whole range of political views and perspectives, and interactions with people that I never would have met or really spent time getting involved with probably otherwise. So it really, transformed my worldview, had a real lasting impact on me, and certainly my experience with the station was so positive that, 10 years later, I'm still working at campus community radio.
And, while we're talking about that, tell us about your current digs and gigs. I understand that CFRC is undergoing a fundraising drive.
So it's our last weekend of our annual funding drive where we reach out to the community and get them to support the station. The funding drive makes up about 20% of our shoestring operating budget, so it's been really important. But we have a really great team of staff and volunteers working on it this year, and although we are still ways away from reaching our fundraising goal, there are 2 days left. We hold out bright hopes, and it's been a really successful drive in so many ways. There's been great programming on the air, and we've had some wonderful events, and I've been putting in a lot of long hours this week, but it definitely feels worthwhile.
CFRC, if people don't know, is the only campus community radio station in Kingston. How can people get in touch with CFRC and contribute to your funding drive?
Well, they can go online to cfrc.ca. There's all kinds of information about our station and the funding drive up there, or they can give us a call at 613-533-2372.
Thanks so much, Christiana.
Thank you, Sheetal.
Oh, it's been great talking to you.
You too. Congratulations.
Thanks, same to you.
And that was Christiana Clemens. She is with CFRC in Kingston, Ontario. She's the operations manager, and she's also a former member of staff and a collaborator with CKLN. So we thank her so much for joining us, and thanks, Sheetal, for conducting that amazing interview. We are going to go now to a special collage of voices featuring news programmers, inspirational news programmers here at CKLN. And this was put together by Kristen Schwartz. This is just to celebrate news, alternative media reporting, and the role of CKLN in spreading the word.
Oh, the first time I came on the radio here, I was very shy, right, and secretive about everything, and I felt the whole world was against me at that time. I didn't want to be around people. I felt like everybody was against me because of what I experienced in life. After coming to the radio station, I felt like now it's like I don't care what people think. Learn to love me for who I am. And if you can't love me for my story and everything I've been through in my life, then you don't love me for the person I am. So
first, I must say thank you for inviting us. My name is Karen Dublin, and I'm a room attendant at the Sheraton Center. I've been there for 13 years. We are part of the million workers in Toronto that make $29,000 or less a year. We are a vital part of the Toronto economy. We are the hospitality industry. We're the people that you see first when you come into the hotels. I'm very happy to know that, you know, we matters, and that you can invite us here to let, you know, the community and the city of Toronto know the kind of work room attendants do. It's time we be recognized for what we're doing.
When I started driving taxi in Toronto, I didn't know the roads, I didn't know the streets, I didn't know the people who were living in Toronto. It was a great learning experience, but at the time, you get a lot of abuse from the people too, you know, like whenever you run into some kind of trouble, the first thing the people say is, "Yo, cabbie, where are you from?" And the conversations most of the time, right? So that's the racial thing is still there. So that's the stigma, right? So like
I'm speaking today with Matoi Monroe, one of the co-leaders of the United American Indians of New England. I wanted to speak to you today about Thanksgiving. I know instead of Thanksgiving, you've decided to celebrate a national day of mourning. Can you tell me how that event came about?
Sure. We commemorate a National Day of Mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mm-hmm. On the U.S. Thanksgiving Day. It started back in 1970, and it was a response to this kind of mythology and to this deranged view of history that makes it seem as though Native people lived happily ever after and were happy that the Europeans were here and that sort of thing.
HENCO has been developing unsurrendered territory for quite some time, and with this particular parcel that we're on today, the proximity is too close to where we reside now, and in this area alone, they're looking to bring 5,000 families right on our doorstep, and this is actually the second time we've been out here. The first time was back in October. It was in commemoration of what's called the Haldimand Proclamation of 1784, and that is when this particular tract, 6 miles on both sides of the Grand River from the mouth to the source, was granted to the Mohawk Nation and all other six nations who wished to follow. So we were out here for 2 days back then, and we shut construction down on this site we're on today.
So joining us now on CKLN 88.1 FM is Andile Mutama, who is an organizer with an organization called the LPM, the Landless People's Movement, and is based in South Africa.
Firstly, I'm happy to be here to share the experiences of South Africa. We must remember that South Africa is now 10 years into its democracy after about 350 years of white original, you know, European people of European region who have oppressed South African blacks for those years. The issue, again, was land in South Africa. Colonialism was about stealing land of African people.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yes, I'm sure I'm ready. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Word of Mouth Show here on CKLN 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Samar.
And I'm Joe G, holding it down, ones and twos, ABCs, all that good stuff.
And as I understand it, you held it down last week, too, without me.
Yes, yes. Myself, another guest from the CKLN radio station, Black Krishna, and a whole bunch of informed, engaged listeners. It was a beautiful thing.
I know you missed me.
Yeah, we said that Samara was exercising her academic muscles. I think that's the term. How'd that go?
Writing my last exam. I loved it. It's over. Great. It's over. I'm so happy. And I'm also happy for another reason. Tomorrow, May 1st, marks International Workers' Day. And on today's show, we're going to have a chance to speak with Cyril McCallico, co-editor of the Upside Down World magazine. The online mag focuses on Latin American politics, and he's pretty much going to break down why private security companies are recruiting thousands of Latin Americans to go fight in the Middle East. And in the later half of the show, we have a special live studio interview with an international action group protesting a Canadian gold mining company infamous for its human rights abuses. Do you know what that company is, Joe?
A dead war cannot oppose global peace. A dead war cannot invade other spaces. To kill war, you have to kill weapons. To kill war, you have to kill defense budgets. To kill war, you have to kill poverty. To kill war, you have to kill fear. To kill war, to kill war, to kill war.
And good morning. I'm Odelia Bay, and yes, that was the musical styling of Jane Cortez, as you would usually hear on a Saturday morning around here at about this time. A little bit different, though, a little bit of a twist today. The piece we played for you this morning is called War Devoted to War, and we thought it would be a good way to kick off our special broadcast this morning for International Women's Day. That's right.
Hi, this is Benedicta Madawa again, and we are still at the conference center at the HIV 16th conference. And with me in the studio is the Honorable Miss Mary Robinson. I have to mention that she's the first woman president of Ireland, and she's also a former United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. And currently, she actually serves as a steering committee member of the Global Coalition on Women and AIDS. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We are honored to have you here.
Hey there. You are listening to CKLN Radio Pride Programming. My name is Lori Erickson, and for the next half hour, we will be hopefully shattering some stereotypes, which are simplistic, restrictive, and oppressive by their very nature. We will be replacing them with something much more creative, complicated, accurate, and most importantly, sexy. We will also be creating and encouraging community, culture, and good times. Now I want you all to take a moment to think about these two terms carefully. First, the term queer. Now, the term disabled. What images and thoughts came to mind for you? What happens when you add these two words together? In the next half hour, we will be briefly uncovering some of the insight, laughs, and beauty that is found in the intersection of queerness and disability.
The faggot wanted love. His mother would
And the time now is 20 minutes to the hour of 11 a.m. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM. Good morning and welcome to this special Pride edition of Saturday Morning Live. I'm Adrian Harewood. While this Pride weekend is a time for joy and celebration, it also provides a time for reflection and contemplation. Whether it has been figures such as Bayard Rustin, Audre Lorde, Ma Rainey, Angela Davis, James Baldwin, Lorraine Hansberry, Josephine Baker, Bill T. Jones, Billy Strayhorn, Alice Walker, Dionne Brand, Makeda Silvera, black gays and lesbians have played an integral role in defining contemporary notions of black identity.
In the cold weather, youth that are out there right now, I feel your pain. I was once there, and it's not you who's the problem. It's all the situations that you have factored in your life and came across in your life. That's what's the problem. That's what made you that way. So basically, just always keep your head up and chase your dreams. Don't follow them.
And that was a news and special programming collage got to put together earlier this week. It was aired on CKUT. And I think that Darren Copeland is going to be mixing that up for his sound art show tomorrow. So I'm going to look forward to hearing that. My name's Kristen Schwartz, and I put that together. Thanks so much to Susie for making space for that in this special extended word of mouth news program tonight. We've got a lot of people to thank tonight who made this show happen. But first, we really want to thank the listeners to CKLN, the listeners and supporters. Mm-hmm. Don Weitz and Mark Brill are on the other side of the glass, and I think they've got some things to say about CKLN's listeners and supporters who have been by the station's side over the past 2 weeks.
Yes, thank you, and very special thanks to Kristen Schwartz and Susie Pocasangre, who produced this very outstanding, in my opinion, special extended edition of Word of Mouth. It has been great, a privilege, and I feel empowered for anti-psychiatry radio and so much acceptance and love and strong support. And to you, listener, this wouldn't happen unless, you know, you were in back of what we're trying to do here, what we are accomplishing. And once again, Mark Brill, who's been excellent and brilliant in saving the anti-psychiatry program, which you can access, right, Mark, as Radio for All, if you access that and click on series, and after that you'll see anti-psychiatry radio, and we're going to stay on, and this is a big boost to us in light of, and especially that we got a stay, so our license is not in danger right now, and we're going to keep speaking out and fighting to bring you, fighting for the truth that you don't get on mainstream radio. This is alternative radio, a real alternative, community-based, with respect, friends, to you, which you don't get really anywhere else. So I'm going to sign off for now for this extended version, and I thank once again Susie, Kristen, and Mark for helping, because without their help, there'd be no anti-psychiatry radio or word of mouth.
And a special thanks to Donald for providing all the time he's given us anti-psychiatry radio over the years and years. And thanks, of course, to all the listeners. And thanks also to the people of Egypt for their inspiration.
Yes.
Which, coincidentally, getting rid of Mubarak on the same day that CKLN gets the stay somehow seems appropriate to me. And we will stay on the air. We will make the most of the stay. And with your help, we'll be on the air forever. Thanks.
And departing from where Mark left it, I want to thank everyone from Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, who throughout the years has been involved at CKLN, hosting, contributing interviews, contributing voices, opinions, and reporting all of their contributions. And their effort and their energies are much appreciated by us here at CKLN and Friday Word of Mouth. I want to especially send out a great, great big thanks to Steph Gouda, who dropped by today and who helped co-host the first part of this extended edition of Word of Mouth. She was a past host and contributor to Friday Word of Mouth News. We miss her a ton, and we loved her. I love to have her here in the studio tonight. I also want to say thanks to all the folks who came through at the start of the show. We had Lauren Spears, who's also a volunteer with CKLN. We had Shelley Robinson, who's the Executive Director of National Campus and Community Radio Association, the NCRA. We also had Wendy Nzinga Maxwell joining us via long-distance phone with Kristen last night. She is a former CKLN programmer and international woman Women's Day coordinator. We also want to send a great thanks to Mustafa Hanawe, who's a journalist and activist with the Immigration Workers Center in Montreal and also a past collaborator and contributor to Friday Word of Mouth News. Also, big shout out and thanks to John Clark from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, who has joined us in the past and who joined us tonight as well. Again, we want to thank Don for always coming in with his opinions, his views, his reporting, dedicated reporting, and all his work in anti-psychiatry. Also, big thanks to Bonnie Burstow, who joined him over the phone tonight, as well as Zainab Amadehi, who joined Kristen last night over the phone and who contributed a lot of inspirational words and remarks over the phone. And special thanks also to Sue Goldstein from Quaya, amongst the many other organizations that she's involved in, who came down, made the time to come and join us and talk to us about her work and actions that are taking here in Toronto in support of Palestinian autonomy and right for self-determination. And there was also Christiana Clemens, operations manager at CFRC in Kingston. We want to thank Sheetal Lodia, who is our newest member of Friday Word of Mouth, and for her work in past shows, as well as for interviewing Christiana tonight. Kristen, you want to thank past contributors as well? Or is that all you think?
I think the most important thing right now is to thank the listeners and everybody who signed the petition and everybody who's written to the CRTC. And we do have to keep those letters going in. The CRTC still has a lot of power in this situation, even though it has gone to the next level, the federal court. So you can do that by going to the CRTC website and using their complaints form. Which is it's available online, and you'll get a tracking number, and they will get back to you, and all of that stuff. So your words are not just going into the air; they are going to be read by somebody on the other side. So that's the number one best thing you can do. Signing the petition, of course, another wonderful thing to do. It's over 5,000 now, and we need another 5,000 for sure. We need more than that, but. That's really all I want to say. I really want to also acknowledge that Susie Alvarez and standing in for Maria Elena Escobar have given up an hour of Ventana al Barrio, and we hope that some of Ventana's listeners have been with us over the past hour and think it's probably time that we play some music.
Yes, we're going to go to some music. And on that note, I also want to thank all the independent artists, local artists, who throughout the years have come through CKLN and have come through Friday Word of Mouth and share with us their talents, their songs, and their voices. We're going to go to a musical break. We're going to play for you Plataforma, and the name of the song is Papeles para Todos. And when we come back, it will be Ventana al Barrio. A big shout out and a big thanks to Maria Elena Escobar, who is probably listening online in Chile, we hope, somewhere in the mountains in the southernmost region in Chile. So thank you, Maria Elena, for making the space for this extended show.
Another place.